Well, let me say it as well. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms. It's exciting on all of our campuses, Springboro, Northmont, Beaver Creek, Classics, right here in Centerville, online. We're so grateful that you're here. Moms, you need to be honored, and hopefully we're going to be part of honoring you today. And if you're here today because you're fulfilling your mom's wish in being in church, we welcome you. We're glad you're here. Thank you for honoring your mom by coming in any one of our campuses. It's great to have you here. So happy Mother's Day to all of you moms here today. I also want to tell you that in the last 2 weeks, my wife Kathy and I, we've been in Indonesia. I want to show you a picture here. This is a conference that we went to. We were invited to speak and represent Fairhaven Church. Many of you know that we have couples out of this church family that we support that live and are training pastors in Indonesia. There were about 700-800 pastors there with their spouses, and they asked me to come and speak, and I was very honored. I think some of you know, I was raised in Indonesia, and so I was a little nervous, frankly, because when I grew up, English is my second language. And so I spoke Indonesian when I was a kid, and I still remember it, but I thought, is it going to come back? Is it going to come back? So I landed and got outside, and right away I was confronted with the language, and I understood everything, but I couldn't get my tongue working for a couple days. And then by day four, it was like, it came, and it was like, there it is. And it was awesome to have my language back for a little bit. I didn't speak in it because I wasn't quite confident in it, but it was really awesome to be there to represent you as a church family. They asked me to greet you, all of you, and all of our campuses online. As a matter of fact, I want to give a shout out to one of the pastors, David Paksol, who's joining us right now, actually, in Indonesia. Many of the pastors there have been blessed by the fact that we raised $100,000 to train pastors in Indonesia. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Indonesian church is 5 times larger than the U.S. church. 5 times. And so there's a lot of people there that love Jesus, and they're trying to reach their nation and their neighborhoods as well for Jesus Christ. Now, let me show you one more picture. To open up the ceremonies, they asked me to do something that's very Indonesian, actually, because the conference was in Java, and the Javanese people, when they hunt, they use a blowgun, and they use a blowgun to hunt monkeys and birds. And so as a part of opening the pastor's conference, the ceremonies, if you will, they asked me to shoot a blowgun, which is about 7 feet long, and they asked me to hit a target across the ballroom. I was really nervous because I thought, if I miss this, I'm going to be a really lousy American who can't use, you know. So I thought, I got to get this. And so I shot it, and I hit the target. I hit the target. In fact, I brought the arrow back with me. There it is right there. Don't touch it. It has poison on the tip, so be careful of that, which I can't believe that I shot it. But there it is right there. It's an arrow that they use. And so I open up the ceremonies, and it's really, really exciting to be there. So thank you for allowing Kathy and I to go and to represent you and all the things that happened there. Well, we're in a series, and so grab your Bibles, your devices. We're going to be in Exodus. We're in a series called Average Joe, and in this series, here's what we've been doing. Hopefully you know this, but over the last number of weeks, we've been saying, as you look through Scripture, you find different stories of different characters, and they look like average Joes, just like you and I. They look like average Joes, but because they desire to be difference makers, God uses them, and they're no average Joe. And neither are you or me if we desire to make a difference and allow God to use us in life. And so that's really what this series is about. We're looking at all these characters and learning from them and asking ourselves the question, how can God use me? How can I be a difference maker in my community? Because you can. In my neighborhood, because you can. In your workplace, because you can, and with all of our relationships. And so that's what this series is all about. You are no average Joe. In any one of our campuses, you are no average Joe, and so that's what this series really is all about. Today, what I want to do is I want to study with you a mom in Scripture. One of the greatest stories, I believe, in all of the Bible about a mom. There's not much written about her, but her story is amazing. And so on Mother's Day, I think it's quite appropriate that we look at a mom and learn from her. As a matter of fact, if you're a mom here today and any one of our campuses are online, I want to show you from her story that if you want to be a courageous mom, you're going to probably need to understand at least 3 things, many more, of course, but at least 3 things, and you probably know them already if you're a courageous mom, but let's make sure that we look at this and understand this. The mom that I want to talk to you about today is Jochebed. You probably have never heard of her. Jochebed, because there's not much written about her, we're going to read her story today, 10 verses. That's really about it, really. There's 3 more verses beyond that about her. Jochebed is Moses' mother. Pretty significant mom, don't you think? And so I want to study her life with you today and take a look at it and see if we can learn and understand, even if you're not a mom or if you're a guy in any one of our campuses, we can learn from her because it's incredible how she lives out her life in a courageous manner, because courageous moms understand these three things. And there's something here for us as well as we think through this. And so she was a courageous mom as she raised this little boy that she didn't even get to name, actually. We'll see that today in the story. And then Moses does some incredible things. And so here's what I want to start out with today by saying that behind this amazing leader, Moses, was a mom. So moms, you have a huge role, and we honor you today. My mom is right here today. We've moved her into Dayton, and I'm honored to have her here today. And so happy Mother's Day, Mom, to you. And yeah, that's fine. And so here behind this amazing leader, Moses, was a mom, and by her faith, and she risked her life to save her son, and by her actions, ultimately, she was part of the deliverance of the Israelites out of Egypt. I mean, it was Jochebed who, by her faith, was part of this this young man who did incredible things, Moses. And so I want to look at her life and her story today. So if you have a Bible or a device, you may want to turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. It's the second book in the Bible, and so if you have a copy of scriptures, it's Genesis, Exodus. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. I promise you, it's free of charge. We'd love for you to have one. That's why I don't put anything up here on the script on the screen here outside of a few verses that I want to highlight. I want you to read it. I want you to underline it. I want you to have it. And so Exodus chapter 2, I'm going to read the story for you. But before I read it, let me set it up for you. Let me set up why this is a story about a mom and a son in Egypt. Like, how did that happen? You may know that Joseph was one of 12 sons of Jacob. And Joseph's brothers sold him out. They sold him out because they were jealous of him. And so he went to Egypt. Joseph went to Egypt. That's actually how the Israelites ended up in Egypt, because Joseph went there. He was sold out to Egypt. And all of a sudden, there was a famine everywhere around. And the other 11 brothers said, man, we need food. We need food for our dad, for our mom, and for everybody, aunts and uncles. And so they went to Egypt to see Joseph. And Joseph became the second most powerful man on the planet. He was second only to Pharaoh. And so everybody moved to Egypt. And they grew and grew as kids came along and families came along. And 16 generations later, I don't know if you can work that out in your head, 16 generations later, Joseph died, and the Pharaoh got a little nervous because he didn't have a relationship with Joseph because Joseph died. And so the Pharaoh got nervous because he thought, man, these Israelites, they started out with 12 or 15, and now there's many of them. And he was fearful that if an army came in against the Egyptians, that the Israelites, God's people, would side with them. And so he came up with a brilliant plan, so he thought. And the plan was, he called in these two Hebrew midwives, because these midwives helped deliver the babies. Not, you know, they didn't have big hospitals like we do here in the Dayton area. And so these midwives came in, and the Pharaoh said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take every boy that's born among the Israelites, and I want you to throw them into the river. I want you to drown them in the river. And the two midwives wisely said, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to do that. So then Pharaoh came up with another plan, a better plan in his mind. He said, okay, if you won't do that, then there's going to be a law that I decree that every single boy, whether Egyptian or Israelite, be thrown into the river. That's the Nile River. You probably have heard that term before, the Nile River. And so that was the decree. Every boy had to be tossed into the river. Can you imagine that law that came out and how people were dealing with it? And both all the moms, you know, whether you were Egyptian or Israeli, I mean, incredible law that came out. And so that's where the story begins, where Jochebed gets pregnant, and in her pregnancy, has to deal with this incredibly horrible law that came out. And what does she do? As a courageous mom, what does she do? And we can learn so much from it. If you're here today and you're a mom, You're a courageous mom, and you understand what Jochebed did. And so we're just going to rehearse that, and we're going to agree together. That's what courageous moms do. And so I'm so glad that you're here. The truth of the matter is, though, if you read her story, there's one principle that you can take away, whether you're a mom or not, or whether you're a guy, as I mentioned here today, whether you're a 13-year-old or an 83-year-old, doesn't matter. This is the principle that we learn from Jochebed's life. And that principle is this, that no matter what we encounter, whether it's good or bad, no matter what we encounter, we can trust in God's plan with courage and action. No matter what we encounter. Now, we're going to read a story here today about what Jochebed does against the law, if you will. And I want to make sure it's very clear. So lean in, church, lean in. Here's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we understand here. It was never God's plan for boys to die. Never. And so if we read this story and you look at this principle and you say, no matter what the encounter is in our life, no matter what we encounter, we need to trust in God's plan. It was never God's plan for boys to die. Here's what God does. God can work around any government. God can work around any law. God can work around any action of yours or mine. Do you believe that? See, it'd be like if I said to you, 1 + 1 = 3, you'd be like, well, wait a minute, you must be jet lagged, which I am, by the way. And so if I don't make sense, I'm going to blame it on that. If I said 1 + 1 = 3, you'd say, no, that's not right. Well, of course it's not right in our minds because we're linear. I need to make sure that we all agree here that God doesn't work with 1 + 1. His mind is way beyond ours. His plans are way beyond ours. It was never his plan for boys to die, but God's going to work around this plan, and he's going to do some incredible things in taking all of the Israelites, catch this, out of this law and move them out of Egypt. And so he's just going to take him out of Egypt. As opposed to boys dying, he's going to take him out of Egypt, which is just amazing to me. And so no matter what we encounter in life, we can trust in God's plan with courage and action. How many of you know that if you have courage, it calls for action? Courage is not just something we have on the inside. Courage causes us to take action courageously. If you're a follower of Jesus, God has called you into a life of courage that causes action in your life. And that's really what obedience is all about. We heard about that last week as Jared was here, did a super job. And so this is the principle that we get to learn and understand today. And so let me read the story for you. Exodus chapter 2, starting in verse 1, 10 verses. And let's see the story here. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and took his wife, a Levite woman. Now, let me stop right there, one verse in, and just let you know that nowhere in this story are you going to hear Jochebed's name. So you have to do a little bit more study, which I've done for you. So it might be interesting if I stopped right here and said, well, who in fact is Jochebed? Let me make sure you understand who Jochebed is, because I'm going to read the rest of the story, and there's a couple characters in here that are nameless, and you need to know who the characters are, right? So number one, who is Jochebed? Number one, Jochebed is the daughter of Levi. Levi's brother is Joseph. So she is part of this huge family there. So she's a daughter of Levi, which means she's a pastor's daughter because the Levites were the priests. So she's a pastor's daughter, and that may raise all kinds of flags for you. She's a pastor's daughter, and so she's a daughter of Levi. Secondly, she is married. Her husband was Amram, and we're not introduced to him in the story either. You have to look at other places, which I can give you there in the notes if you want them. So her husband is Amram, and so Jochebed also has three children. You probably know two of them, but let me introduce the three to you. The first is Miriam. That's her first daughter. She's going to be in the story. She's the sister in the story. Miriam is about 10 years older than Moses, and Miriam is the oldest, and so she was large and in charge. She was a poet. She was a philosopher. She was a songwriter. And in fact, I love the story in Numbers where, because she's the oldest, Miriam questioned Moses one day as the younger brother, and she developed leprosy. Now, I have a sister. And maybe you have a sister. And my sister has questioned me before. But Moses was kind enough to pray for her and her leprosy went away. And so it's okay, don't worry about that. But Miriam is the oldest sister. Aaron is number two. Aaron is about 3 years older than Moses. Aaron was the spokesperson for Moses because Moses had a stuttering problem. And God used Aaron as the mouthpiece, which is pretty amazing that these two brothers were used. And then Moses is the key in this story here, and we'll see that today. When it comes to Jochebed, Jochebed has only two verses in all of the Bible that mention her name. So here's a woman who has two verses mentioning her name, and yet she's probably one of the most important moms in all of Scripture. And we're going to learn so much today. It's absolutely amazing. Her whole story, actually, can be found in 13 verses. I'm going to read 10 of them for you. 13 verses is her whole story, and yet she has so much that she does. Let's read on. Verse 1, I'm going to read the whole verse, 10 verses here. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and took his wife, a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took him in a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. It's an asphalt type of material, which is actually what Noah's Ark used in order to waterproof Noah's Ark, same thing. And so she uses that to waterproof this little basket. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance. You know who the sister is now, right? Miriam. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughters of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her young women walked beside her, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant women over, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. That's an important detail. The baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister, Miriam, his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse or somebody, you know, a Hebrew woman who could nurse this child for you?" And the Pharaoh's daughter said, "Go." So the girl, Miriam, went and called the child's mother, who is Jochebed. This is an amazing story. So the daughter went and called the mom, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages." This mom got paid. Can I get an amen from moms? Yeah. So she paid her. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son. Ouch. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." 10 verses, an incredible story of Jochebed, who is a mom who loves her little child and didn't want to follow the law of the land, and so kept this little baby. And here's what I want us to learn today from a courageous mom. There are at least 3 things that we can find here about courageous moms. See, courageous mom, number one, understands that your personal trust in God must come first before trusting God with your kids. So your faith has to come before you have faith in God for your kids. You have to develop your own faith before you have the faith in God for your kids. And we see that in Jochebed. It's an amazing story. I want to pull it out for you. The problem is that many of us as parents, we sometimes catch ourselves where we want more for our kids spiritually than we want for ourselves. In other words, we want to make sure our kids are spiritual, that they make spiritual decisions, or that they follow God and that they obey God. Those are all good things. But we can't do it at the expense of our own faith. Because when that happens, we're living out the age-old statement, I think you know it, goes something like this. Don't do as I do as I say. That never works. It never works, especially in parenting. It never works. And so Jochebed can teach us that courageous moms already understand this. And so moms, you probably already know this. And so I want to just honor you today by saying, way to go. You understand something really, really important. And that is that your personal trust in God comes before you trusting God with your kids. It's just that important. As we read the story and we see all that Jochebed did, we see that she was a woman that trusted God. How do we know that? Well, Jochebed is listed among all the heroes of faith. You don't need to turn there because I'm going to put it here for you. One verse in Hebrews chapter 11, in this whole chapter where they honor all these people that had amazing faith, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. That's Jochebed and Amram. So his parents hid them, which means they had faith in God that, God, I don't know what's going to happen here. We're going to have to let go. We're going to release this to you. We have to trust you. And so they started trusting God before they trusted God with their kids. And so because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict, they were not afraid. That's what courageous moms do. They're not afraid. Courageous moms understand that your faith is so important before you want to have trust in God for your kids. I'm amazed at the intuition that moms have. I mean, I live with a mom. I live with my wife, who is a mom of 4 boys and now 2 daughter-in-laws. And it's exciting to watch her because she's a woman of faith. She loves her relationship with God. And in that, I see her praying for our kids and I see her agonizing over our kids. And I'm really proud of her. She would tell you that she's not where she wants to be because none of us probably are. But you courageous moms, you know that you have to have faith in God in order to have faith or trust in God for your kids. And Jochebed is a great example of that. You know, it's amazing when you look at a child. In fact, look at verse 2 with me. It's really amazing. It says this, that the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child. I read that. I was on the plane studying on the way back from Indonesia, which is a long, long flight. And I sort of laughed out loud. I'm thinking, well, what mom doesn't think their baby is not a fine child, right? I mean, every mom thinks her baby is the best looking baby in the planet. And so I kind of laughed at that. But the truth of the matter is it's true. Every mom holds a baby and looks at his face and it's just amazing to see the face and all the toes and the fingers. And it's just incredible to see that. And so we see that in scripture, actually. David says this in Psalm 139, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. A mom's intuition is so incredible, isn't it? When a mom gets to speak into the life of a child and pray over a child. This week, this verse came really true for us, Kathy, my wife, and I, because our oldest son on Wednesday had another baby. And so they gave us a second grandson. Do you want to see a picture? I'm going to show you anyway. Tucker David, there he is right there. On Wednesday, they had a baby. Yeah, it's okay. And you can't help but look at a baby and go, wow, they're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, everything is just so perfect and they're so tiny. And I'm sort of proud of my son and my daughter-in-law. This is number 2. And so, you know, and I thought to myself, because we knew this was happening. And so, because it was a planned, C-section. And so on the trip back from Indonesia, we were excited and thinking about this. And I thought to myself, how am I going to find more love in my tank for a second grandson? And you know what I discovered? You guys know this already. I'm a little rookie here yet. I discovered that I got a new tank. You don't have more in one tank, you get a new tank. And so I'm really, really excited about that. Moms have a great intuition. 2 weeks ago, my own mother, my mom, who as I said lives now in Dayton, she handed me a sheet of paper. It had her handwritten note on it, and so I brought it with me 2 weeks ago. She gave this to me, and she said, would you read this? I said, oh. It says, David, when you arrived August the 14th, 19, I'm not going to fill the rest in. This is the verse that God gave to me that I prayed over you. I had no idea. I had no idea until 2 weeks ago. This is the verse that my mother prayed over me. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 19, and it says, and give to my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonials, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the place for which I have made possible for him. My mom prayed that over me these many, many years ago. I'm probably going to keep this for a little while. She gave this to me 2 weeks ago. Because you know why? That's what moms do. Moms have an intuition, and moms, as you look in your children's faces and you pray over them, here's something that you already know. Your trust and faith in God has to come before you trust God for your kids. The story goes on. Look at verse 3 with me. It's an amazing story. When she could hide him no longer, 3 months in, and I got thinking about this because of my new grandson, you know, the first couple of weeks, the first month perhaps, there's not much life there, right? I mean, they're sleeping the whole time. In fact, every time we've talked to my son and we've gotten to see the grandson, he's sleeping the whole time. His eyes are closed and, you know, we're trying to talk to him to wake him up and he doesn't want to wake up. He wants to sleep. And that's just normal. That's just what happens. But after 3 months, she could no longer hide him. That makes sense to me a little bit more, having a new grandson. And so she makes this basket, she puts him in the basket, and she sends it off down the river. Wow. The courage of this mom is absolutely amazing. And we learn a second thing that courageous moms understand. So moms, listen in, because you probably know this. But here's the second thing that we learn about courageous moms. Courageous moms understand that hope lives in adversity and discouragement. You see, here at Fairhaven, if you're relatively new to any one of our campuses or online joining us, we talk a lot here about finding hope. We want everybody to find hope in Jesus Christ. The problem, though, is that oftentimes in our minds, we associate or we couple together hope with a stress-free life. And so oftentimes when we think of hope, we think if I could have hope in my life, it would mean that I would have a stress-free life, you know, or a problem-free life. And what I want to do today through Jochebed is to uncouple those together. Because hope does not just mean that you and I have a stress-free or a problem-free life. That's exampled in Jochebed. I mean, look at this. There's a law of the land that all babies had to be thrown into the river, and she refused to do that. There was all kinds of problems that she dealt with. The pain of loss. Think about this. That she had to put this baby in a basket and send it down the Nile thinking, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder if he's going to live. I wonder if he'll ever get married. I wonder if he'll ever do anything. I wonder how he'll be shaped and I wonder what he'll become like. I wonder all those things, the loss that was there in her life, the loss of influence. Here's what I know about moms. Moms want to influence their kids no matter what the age is. Is that right, moms? It doesn't matter if it's 13 or 33 or even 83, if that's possible. They still want to influence their kids. And no doubt after 3 months, you can just imagine Jochebed like, wow, I don't get to influence him like perhaps I'd like to. And just incredible. And she doesn't even get to name him. It's the Pharaoh's daughter that names him. That's pretty huge. Huge loss that's there, huge adversity that's there. And she teaches us a lesson that courageous moms can find hope even in adversity, even in discouragement. That's what courageous moms do. And we see that right here in the story as Jochebed lives this out. What's really interesting to me is that when Pharaoh made this decree, it's an opportunity for you and I to think about something because obviously Jochebed didn't follow the law. How do we square that? Well, let me make sure it's clear. If you look through Scripture in the New Testament, particularly like Romans 13 and other places, we're told that if you're a follower of Jesus, okay, so listen in if you're a follower of Jesus in any one of our campuses. If you're not, just kind of listen in. But if you're a follower of Jesus, this is for you. The Bible teaches us that we are to honor and we are to pray for and we are to find ways to encourage our government. Doesn't mean that you agree with them. Doesn't mean you voted for them. Doesn't mean you will vote. Doesn't matter. That's what we are as followers of Jesus. We are to honor the government and we are to pray for the government and we are to encourage as much as possible until they deviate from God's word. Peter says this actually in Acts chapter 5. Here's what he says. You must obey God rather than men. That's what a courageous mom did. A courageous mom said, you know what? I live in Egypt. I'm under the rule of the Egyptians. It's okay. I'm going to try to live this out in my life. But if the Pharaoh says, I got to kill my son and throw him in the river, I'm not doing that because that's contrary to what God would want. And so what an amazing thing that this mom knew. You see, hope lives in adversity and in disappointment. The story goes on. You know the story. I've read it for you in verse 5. So the Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river. She was bathing. She had some ladies that were helping her there. And the ladies heard the baby crying. Ladies, help me out here. There's no lady that can look at a crying baby and not have some source of compassion. Am I right, ladies? It's not possible. So the fact that the baby was crying here is a really important detail, that here this baby was in a basket and the baby was crying. Moses was crying and the ladies go over and open the basket and the baby's crying. Of course, oh, you know, we got to do something. And so, you know, and all of this. And so they take him, the baby, and then they go find a Hebrew woman, which happens to be Jochebed. It's absolutely incredible, all the things that take place here. And as we continue the story, we recognize there are all these details that absolutely God was a part of. Let's try it out. How many of you think it's an accident that it was that day that the Pharaoh's daughter took a bath and that Jochebed just happened to put the baby in the river? No. She knew the schedule, right? She knew that. Is it by accident that the sister, Miriam, was really close to the basket to keep an eye on the basket? Was that just by accident? No. No, that was all planned out because courageous moms do those kinds of things. As a matter of fact, here's number 3, if you want to jot it down. See, a courageous mom understands you can trust God's sovereign care. The word is not plan, even though that's true, care. Courageous moms know something that all of us need to rehearse today, and that's this, that God loves our children more than we do. And so Jochebed, with great hope and with great courage, put her little boy in that basket, and off it went. And then she got paid to raise it for a couple years. That's pretty amazing. She didn't get to name him, but no doubt she saw what Moses was able to do and what a fine young man he turned out to be as God used him as a difference maker, and we'll talk about him next week. Don't miss it. It's amazing. But you know what? This third principle, courageous moms know this, that you can trust God's sovereign care for your kids. Here's the problem. Trusting is destroyed in our lives with two words. Let me show you the two words because you know them. There's two words that will destroy your ability as a parent to trust, or a mom or a dad or an uncle or an aunt to trust God's sovereign care. Here are the two words. What if? What if he drowns? What if they kill him? What if, you know, I never get to see him again? What if? It destroys our trust in God's sovereign care. And so today, I want to challenge you, moms and dads and aunts and uncles and all of us, really. I want to challenge you that you might be living today with a what if, and I want you to surrender that to God today because that will destroy any sense of trust in your life. Just surrender it because there's so many what ifs in life, and God has a perfect plan. You just need to spend some time with him, and he'll lay it out for you. You'll know on the inside. Destroying the what ifs in your life is the way you can grab a hold of trust. Now, let me show you what Jochebed did, because trust is a noun, but it's also a verb. Trust is something you have, but trust is also something you do. Right, church? So let me show you what Jochebed did as a mom, as a parent, which might, I don't know, might help us today if you're a parent here, and that's this. We trust God by being intentional as parents. I remember when we had 4 little boys like this. They were like this tall, you know, and they would make a lot of noise and racket, and they would break holes in walls and destroy things in the house. And every once in a while, we would think to ourselves, man, we're in survival mode. Any parents, you know what I'm talking about? You're just like in survival mode. And then, you know, time goes on, and you sort of can back off a little bit. And I think we need to agree here that Jochebed understood that when it comes to parenting, you're not just in survival mode. You're actually in intentional mode. We need to be intentional as parents to make sure our kids know certain things in life. We trust by understanding the urgency of time. We only have so much time. Jochebed only had 3 months added to that, maybe a couple years with the oversight of, you know, the palace and the Pharaoh's daughter and all of that. We trust by understanding the urgency of time. We trust by teaching them who God is rather than teaching them about God. See, we need to teach our children the character of God, not just stories about God, not just about what God does. We need to teach them the character. And the best way to do that is to live out our lives in front of them. Amen. When we live out our lives in front of our kids, in front of the children that we have all around us, that's the way we get to do that. Fourthly, we trust by helping our kids to know there's a difference between attending church and belonging to church. Huge difference. See, I think we do ourselves a disservice if we say to our kids, we're gonna go to church today. We need to help our kids to understand they are the church. You are the church. So we go because the church needs you. The church needs everybody. I mean, we are the church. So we don't attend church, we belong to church, which is a whole different way of looking at it. And I believe that we learned that from Jochebed as a parent who understood, even in those short years that she had, we trust by praying like crazy. If you're not praying right now for your kids, I want to challenge you to pray daily. Praying. I got to imagine that Jochebed was praying every day for little Moses, every day. God, help him, use him, make him a difference maker. You pray like crazy, and then lastly, you let go. Letting go is an interesting thing, isn't it? Because letting go doesn't happen once, like when they get married or when they go off to college. Letting go happens the first time a family member watches the child. Letting go happens when you have your first babysitter. Letting go happens when you put your child in the nursery for the first time and you get to sit together and not be bothered. Letting go happens when, you know, you have a teacher involved and a coach involved and you have mentors involved. Letting go happens when they graduate, when they get married. Letting go happens all through life. And here, Jochebed let go as she put Moses in this little basket and off he went. And the principle is this. You see, no matter what we encounter, we can trust in God's plan with courage and in action. Moms, thank you for your courage. Thank you for being courageous in all that you do. Men, let's be courageous in all that we do as well. Whether you're a father or not, let's be courageous. Would you bow with me for just a few moments and allow God to help you that no matter what you are encountering right now in your life, trust God's plan and act with courage in your life. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for moms. We thank you that we get to honor them today. Lord, what an amazing story of a woman who went through so much and yet she was able to live her life out in such a way that she could be an example of what it means to be a courageous mom. So Lord, I pray for all of my friends here in all of our campuses around the world, online, in Dayton. And we ask, God, that you would help us, that we might be courageous. As followers of Jesus, help us to be courageous in all of the actions that we take because we love you, because you love us, and because we belong to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen.